Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday, and it's heading into a three-day holiday weekend. I hope you guys have some great things planned for your holiday. Hope you get away. Hope you're having a good time. We are heading into a three-day weekend. It is the end of the work week, so I'm going to keep this one short. I'm probably not going to be the full 20 minutes this afternoon, but you guys feel me. I know you do. Hope you're doing well. I'm excited for the Love connection, people. I'm talking about Jordan Love throwing and growing with all these young pass catchers at his disposal. Man, it is exciting times in Green Bay. And yes, the news that the Arizona Cardinals have released DeAndre Hopkins has reached my ears. And as I said on Twitter, I put a maybe. I mean, there's hell and gone chance that the Packers are going to land DeAndre Hopkins. I have zero doubt they will make a call. If you missed the debut of my one-man play in the conversation on Twitter earlier this afternoon, you can check that out, which pretty much throws together my thoughts about how likely it is that the Packers are going to land DeAndre Hopkins. I think they'll make a call. As Brian said, they're going to be in every conversation, but there's no realistic opportunity and or expectation here. The Packers want Jordan Love and company to grow together, a young nucleus that can take the league by storm over the next 4 or 5 years. Paying DeAndre Hopkins is not in that plan. So I've already seen some folks in the comments talking about it, and you can, I'm not going to say it's impossible, never going to happen, because never say never, who the fuck knows, but I think the chances are minimal. Let's put it that way. Very, very minimal. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Before I get going, let me give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. If you need Green Bay Packers tickets for any of their games, either preseason, regular season, home, or away, make sure you check out Ticket King. There's a link to the tickets in the description of this video, or just go to cheeseheadtv.com. Either the schedule on the website or the app has individual links to each and every game. You can buy your tickets there. Don't use Ticketmaster. Don't use StubHub. Don't use SeatGeek. None of that. None of that. Use Ticket King, a Wisconsin-based company. Support your local peeps. You want to do it. You got to do it. That's the way you got to roll. Ticket King, folks. Seek them out. Get your Packers tickets. Tailgate. Drink. Watch the Packers win. Ball game. Got to love it. We got folks. How we doing? We got Michael right up first with the Super Chat. What's up, man? Off topic. Well, it's always good to start off topic. But I really like the rotation of Brewers announcers. Euchre, BA, and Rock are awesome. But Levering and Rotino are also highly enjoyable. Well, I like when they give Levering all the, like, most of the, like, far-flung, like, West Coast away games or, you know, things of that nature. I think Jeff does a phenomenal job. I've said it on Twitter. I wish they'd give him more opportunities. I know BA is an institution. They're not going to move off him anytime soon for good reason. He's really good. I totally get it. But, yeah, I think Jeff Levering is one of the most underrated play-by-play guys in the nation. He is so good. So, yeah, very much agreed there, man. What else we got here, folks? We got Dale checking in from London. Good afternoon. Soon to be good evening from New York, sir. I hope you're doing well. Mimsy. Thanks to the Super Chat. Are you going to MetLife tonight for Anti-Hero 12? That's hilarious. No, I am not. I saw Taylor's last tour, mostly because my daughter dragged me along, and I really enjoyed it, the Reputation tour at MetLife, actually. But, yeah, no, tickets hovering just over $1,000 each for, like, nosebleeds. Not for this dude. Not for this intrepid blogger. Sorry about that. To my girls, but yeah, there's no way I could pull that off. I know my daughters are desperately seeking last-minute tickets and have a plan tomorrow to head out to MetLife just to tailgate for the show and to listen from the parking lot. True story. And I will say, you know, I've got a platform here. I'm just going to say it. Taylor Swift had an opportunity to, like, really take a stand with all the Ticketmaster bullshit, and she didn't. Well, I'm not surprised, and don't think that this is just a targeting of Taylor Swift thing, because Depeche Mode did the exact same thing, has the exact same insane prices for their tickets, and both artists could have really used their platform to try to make a dent in this Ticketmaster Live Nation stranglehold, which is fucking ridiculous and has basically ruined the major concert industry. Shout out to The Cure, a band that actually is using their platform and trying to push back on things. But Taylor Swift and Depeche Mode really dropped the ball there. And that's all I have to say about that. Ben, thanks for the super chat. Got a bonus from work, and someone's gone straight into a Christian Watson jersey. Time to support new heroes. I love it, man. Hell yeah. Rock that thing with pride. You know, we'll be wearing that a lot this season, I would think, and I think he is going to repay you for your investment. Mario, thanks for the super chat. Excited for what Reed and Kraft can do. I mean, yeah, we're excited about all these young guys, right? I mean, I'm going to continue to preach patience. I don't think anybody should expect, you know, fireworks out of the gate, but the potential is there, and there's zero doubt that, you know, they're working their ass off right now. They're going to work through camp, and they're going to do everything in their power to hit the ground running week one in Chicago. But, yeah, it's hard not to get excited. It's hard not to get excited when you see just how talented these kids are, and they are. There's no doubt about that. Did anybody catch Mark Murphy's interview on Bill Michaels yesterday? Murphy admitted we haven't even seen LaFleur's actual offense yet. I don't know if that's an admittance. I mean, I think that's just common sense, right? I mean, everybody knows that it was a collaboration with Aaron and a few other people along the way, including, you know, Aaron's current offensive coordinator and Nathaniel Hackett, but along with, you know, Adam Stenovich last year and a few other people along the way. You know, J.O., Justin Outen, has had, you know, input a couple years. And so I don't think that's an admittance as much as it is acknowledging reality. But that said, no, I didn't hear it. Good get for Bill Michaels. That's a hell of an interview to snag. Get it? Get it? When Jaden burns defensive backs, I call that move the, quote, read it and weep. Too old for this. He's here all week. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. I don't know if it was a common sense, but instead it was a hoped-for thing, Nags. I don't know about that. Hope for in what regard? I mean, we haven't seen a pure, quote-unquote, Matt LaFleur offense because there is no such thing. He has said repeatedly into microphones for everyone to hear that it's the Packers' offense. And I don't think this year will be much different other than the fact that Aaron Rodgers won't be involved in the making of it. You know, but there's still going to be a collaboration, a heavy collaboration behind the scenes. Now, whatever the product ends up being, however it looks, it is going to be tagged and tabbed and talked about as Matt LaFleur's offense, whether it's good or bad. But the fact remains, it's always a collaboration. We know that. And again, Matt has said as much. You know, I don't think, again, that's just reality. Brandon, thanks for the super chat. But if the defense becomes what it should be during training camp, let's all prepare that 10 could look rough and he'll gain a lot of experience. He could, man, but I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Not again. I remember last year getting all jazzed up about that defense, how physical they looked and how tight the coverage was. And they look so ready to go. And then week one happened. Fool me once. I won't get fooled again. That is not happening. I mean, I look forward to the individual battles. I look forward to guys like turning up the heat and especially those joint practices. Like, let's go. But yeah, no, none of it means a hill of beans until things are real and people are game planning and you actually have to make decisions on the fly and know what your rules are and know when to pass off things and generate a pass rush and how to call things on third down so you're not 12 yards off on third and three. I don't care. I don't care what anything looks like in camp. I'm done with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm very excited for camp. Can't wait for it to get here. I'm going to have a ball. I love that time of year, and there's going to be tons of work to talk about, no question about it. But when it comes to trying to kind of look ahead and see what that work means for the future, forget it. I'm done. But to your point, to your overall point about Jordan Love, yeah, give him that work, 100%. I want them to make his life miserable. I want him to be under pressure and to have to make quick decisions and learn from mistakes. The more he gets that done in the summer, the better it's going to be when the, you know, snaps are real and the defense knows he doesn't have a red jersey on anymore. But yeah, again, I ain't falling for the banana in the tailpipe when it comes to how anything looks in camp. Woman on First Take actually said she was looking forward to LaFleur's offense today, for what it's worth. Yeah, of course. That's my point. That's my whole point. That's what everyone's going to call it, no matter like if that's realistic or not. Jones and Dylan are going to light up the offense. Go Pack Go from Oregon. What's up, John? Yeah, I hope we see Jones and Dylan featured in the way we thought they were going to be heading into last season. It just makes the most sense. I mean, we're all, as we were just talking about, excited about all these young pass catchers, but run the offense through your backs. It absolutely should. And I think we've seen glimpses of that. We've seen them operate that way from time to time. A lot of the times it's been opponent-specific, dependent, and if they feel like whoever their opponent is that week, that they run a scheme where they can feature the backs a little bit more, especially in the passing game. I'm saying dictate a little bit more. Think Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. That's what I'm about. John, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Indy 500 bound this weekend. Have a great weekend. Hey, have a great time, man. Say hi to Adam Driver for me. I know he's going to be on hand. Joe, thanks for the super chat. Savage and Stokes have both talked about how tough it is to look back at what happened in 2022. Doesn't seem a lot of issues got fixed during the season. Well, I don't know about that. I definitely don't agree in the sense that they certainly found a way of working that was a hell of a lot better in the second half, like kind of back end of the year, like five games or so. Now, were they lights out? Were they a dominant defense? No. But you certainly saw a switch, and you certainly saw a higher level and more consistent level of play from the defense. But yeah, that first half of the defense, the first half of the season, that was rough. No question about it. What's up, Dennis? How are you? Hope you're doing well, man. Friday Night Delight. Is it preseason yet? Robin, it's got to be late over there. Hope things are treating you well across the pond, man. If Savage becomes the player we thought he was coming out of Alabama, what's the contract cap hit look like? How do those void years work then? It's a good question, Aaron. I just remember reading about the adjustment and having it hurt my head. That's a question for Ken Ingles. I suspect if he balls out, they'll sign him to an extension and they'll be able to just wipe those void years away. Because, you know, ultimately that's almost always for the purposes of spreading out a signing bonus, you know? But if he gets a contract extension, then those years become real and you can just kill the void years. But we shall see. Jason, thanks for the super chat. Would you say Jordan has a strong arm? I can't tell sometimes. It looks like he doesn't have a lot of strength on short and medium throws, but then he will nuke one 50 yards on a rope. Is it finesse? That's a good question. He'll never have, I think, you know, the one area where people kind of have gotten used to a certain type of quarterback play is we've been spoiled with Brett and Aaron back-to-back as far as their ability to slice the football on a frozen rope, you know, 50 yards from the far hash. Not a lot of guys can do that. And the fact that we've had 30 years of it has kind of probably distorted our expectations and what we think we're seeing a little bit. Jordan's arm strength is fine. But yeah, no, it's not. It's definitely not rocket ball like Aaron Rodgers could be at times, and Brett definitely was most of the time. But it's strong enough. He can make every throw. To your point, there's, you know, tons of tape of him in college and sometimes in the NFL where you'll see him make a really nice cross field, far hash throw. And then other times, yeah, especially when he's on the move, he has, I'm not going to say bad habits, but he hasn't mastered that yet, you know, and the ball flutters a little bit and things of that nature. But, you know, it's all about using the tools you have to the best of your ability and putting him in the best position possible. And I keep saying it, I'll probably say it all summer, he's got more than enough talent that you can win with. Is it going to be the same as Aaron? No. It's going to be different. But it's about developing what he has. Tell me what a guy can do. No, what he can't do. Brandon, thanks for the super chat. Agree, wasn't about the D, more so that the fan base may go into a frenzy if all the stories are about Love struggling. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the story regardless. Even when Aaron has, even when Jordan has bad games and people are like going to pile on, right? It's wise to look at it in full context. And as Matt has said and Aaron has echoed in the past, you know, the quarterback gets way more blame than he should, gets way more praise than he should. This year, Jordan's going to learn that life. And there are going to be plenty of times, I am sure, throughout the season where he plays fine, right, or plays well, and they lose because the defense couldn't get a stop. And traversely, there'll undoubtedly be games where he struggles and the defense rises to the occasion and they get the W, and people will be all about Jordan Love's struggles. That's just the nature of the position. And it's unfortunate, but it's a reality. Kobe, thanks for the super chat. Will Jordan be expected to be a QB and a coach to his teammates during a game, or will LaFleur let 10 concentrate on developing his own game for now? Well, I mean, that's just the nature of the position in some cases. You know, I mean, we've already heard Jordan talk about that in his intro presser about talking to guys about what he expects and what how he likes things and how he wants things. He's not a rookie. Don't forget. I mean, he's been running the show in the offseason for the last couple of years because Aaron had stayed away, right? So it's not like this is his first rodeo. But that said, no, he's not out there talking, you know, specific technique to the wide receivers or the offensive line or things of that nature. That's why they have coaches. But he's certainly going to take ownership of the offense. Of that, I have no doubt, as he should. He's the guy, as we were just discussing. You know, guy runs the wrong route or uses bad technique and it results in an interception. The wide receiver isn't the one getting blasted on Twitter. It's the quarterback. And he's not the one leading ESPN First Take. Well, Jordan Love had a bad game. Look at this interception. That was totally the guy's fault who ran the bad route, but we're not going to talk about that. So, yeah, he'll definitely take ownership of the offense and tell the guys what he expects and what he wants, because he should. He is the starting quarterback. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Excited for having three timeouts in the 2 minute this year. I don't know. Hey, I can't put all that on Rodgers, man. I know Aaron's out the door here, but that's been Matt's bugaboo as well. To the point where Matt actually brought it up in a press conference 2 years ago, knowing I was thinking it. I didn't even ask about it. And he brought it up unprompted because he had appeared on our show a couple of weeks prior where I kind of teased him and prodded him a little bit about the lack of timeouts. So, yeah, I'm not entirely sure that we're done with that just yet. We'll see. We will see. Could the Jets purposely not play Rodgers 65% of the snaps? Brian, could they? Sure, but they want to win. They think they have a 2-year Super Bowl window, and Aaron Rodgers is the whole reason that is in existence. They're not going to forego their chance at winning football games to have to give up a lesser pick to the Packers. Now, if for whatever reason you get to the middle, late end of the season and they're sitting there with like 4 or 5 wins, like obviously something's gone terribly wrong, etc., maybe. But I still doubt it. Aaron's going to want to play. What else we got here, folks? How about Brett, whatever you do, don't run. It's a classic moment down there. The last game played at Milwaukee County Stadium when the Packers were facing the Falcons. And, you know, Holmgren famously told him, as he's jogging back onto the field, whatever you do, don't run, because they had no timeouts left. What did Brett do? Ran into the end zone for a touchdown. It's also produced one of my favorite Packers photos ever of Favre in midair diving into the end zone with the old Milwaukee County Stadium in the background. So great. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out and talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll see you on Tuesday. Go Pack, go.